Okay, good evening. Appreciate everybody coming out tonight. It's wet and the first day of school, not so easy, but it's also getting closer to the Amim Noraim. And it's a privilege to have an opportunity to learn a little bit together. And tonight's year is part of the Garden Mermelstein Chodesh of Inspiration, sponsored by Dr. Julius and Stacy Garner, their parents, Avram Ben Rav Mordechai Garden, Toiba Basar Rav Yehuda Garden, Mayor Ben Shlomo Mermelstein, Leibas Zecharia Triber, Zechon Levracha, and also co-sponsored this evening to mark the Shoshim of Anita Salzberg by her daughter Susan Palvo and Cheryl Goldwasser. It should be Eloy Nishmasam. So why do we daven? Why do we daven? It's a critical question to explore as we approach the Yomim Noraim. We're going to be spending an increased amount of time in shul, slichos, davening. And it's important to understand also because we do it all the time. Three times a day we are davening, and if we don't understand why we're davening, then obviously something is fundamentally missing. It's important to understand because a lack of appreciation leads to a lack of seriousness. If we don't think that there's anything serious about davening, then why would we take it seriously? It leads to boredom. It ultimately leads to zilzul and tefillah, talking, and other interruptions. So it's really just a very basic, fundamental point. What are we doing? We have this opportunity. It's built into our day. Why is it that we daven? And it's not going to be something where we have an easy solution, we figure out why we daven, and then everything is going to be nice and straightforward. Davening is very, very difficult, probably in part because we do it so frequently, and anything that we do frequently, we tend to take it a little bit for granted. But the truth is that Chazal already tells us the Gemara in Brachos is in the fourth source on the sheet, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf, Lamebeis, Taner Rabbanan, Arba, Tzrichin, Chizuk. There are four things that require chizuk, that require constant effort, reworking, working harder. Ve'elu hein, Torah, ma'asim tovim, tefillah, v'derech eretz. So among the list of things that require, again, the constant chizuk, and Rashi says in the next source, she'ischazik adam bem tamid b'chol kocho. You have to constantly put all of your effort into it. So Torah, obviously, is very fundamental, but on this list as well, is tefillah. It's interesting, in the Rishima Shiurim from the Rav, which are Rabbi Reichman's notes on the Shiurim that he heard from Rav Salvechik in number 6, he has the following comment on this Gemara. Again, four things that require constantly working and working harder. You have to keep trying, and then when you try, you can hope that you're going to do it better. You have to work really hard. What does it mean that it requires constant chizuk? Is that you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And sometimes when we do things again and again and again, what does it lead to? Just giving up. I keep trying, I keep putting in the effort, and it's for naught. What is the Gemara telling us? The lol hisyaish mimenu. And don't give up. When it says that it requires constant effort, what the Gemara is trying to tell us is don't think you're going to just have the answer. You're going to be able to put in a little bit of effort, you're going to try once or twice or three times, and suddenly you're going to get it. No, it requires constant effort, and why is it worth it? Mishum shelibasof, ya'ale v'yatzliach b'chol advar ma'ilu. You will succeed in the end. And he says, "V'hu yisod latzliach b'limud b'tzil ma'asim tov b'derech eretz." It is the key to any success in these four areas of our service of Hashem, is to constantly work at it. And then he writes something interesting and very in the style of the Rav. He says that ubazem mevur kama minhagim shonim. There are certain practices of our minhagim, and the Rav was a very big believer that our minhagim all reflect something in halacha or something in chazal. They didn't just emerge as something that doesn't make sense, it's a nice practice, but our minhagim are deeply rooted. So he writes in the first one, Nira de mehaitaimu denagu de b'shoshim esayimim es sechta, when we finish a masechta, what's the minag? Lahaschal take of belim ra masechta shacharah. We start the next one. Uboso ha-shabash ha-messayim sefer bereshis. And as soon as we finish laning the end of bereshis, maschilim sefer mishmos b'mincha. At mincha, we start shmos. In Simchas Torah, we have the same thing. Why? It's this idea of what does it mean, tzrich and chizuk? You do it, and then you do it more, and you do it again. If you skip ahead to the third one, three lines from the bottom. This is the reason his Rav suggests that in many shuls, the davening concludes with Adon Olam. The tefillah shachris matchilas ba'amiras Adon Olam. Because shachris is going to start again, the first thing when you walk into shul, matovu and Adon Olam. So as soon as you finish davening, what's the point? Is that we prepare for the next time that we're going to daven. It's not easy. But that is our avoda, that is our task, that is our mission, and that's what we're going to try to work on a little bit this evening and see if we can be mechazik each other, give ourselves some work that we can do as we prepare for the Yamim Noraim. So let's begin to explore together. Why do we daven? So if I ask you, why do you daven? Perhaps the most obvious answer that people give is because we want things. If you look at our tefillos, much of our tefillah is bakashos. The middle part of Shmon Esrei, again, the ikar, the main part of tefillah is the Shmon Esrei. We start with a praise of Hashem. We have a whole long list of bakashos, of things that we want, perhaps things that we even need. And then we conclude with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So is that all it's about? Is it simply about bakashos? The laundry list, God, I need A, B, C, and D. So the truth is that the word to pray, as we use it in English, comes from the Latin word, I'll try this, precari, or something along those lines, which means to entreat or to ask. It's really about bakashos. But if that is the yisod, if that's really what tefillah is all about, it's extraordinarily limiting in our tefillah. And not just is it limiting, but it can be extremely frustrating. Because if it's all about asking, and I ask, and I ask, and I ask, and I don't seem to get what I'm asking for, so why am I bothering to do this? If it's really just about getting the things that I want, I'm going to keep asking and asking. I just want a parnasa, I just want health, whatever it is that I want, and there are so many important things that we want, and we don't get them, so why are we bothering with this davening if it's just about getting things? But more than that is that it raises significant philosophical problems as well, and philosophical questions. Because if we're going to say that we daven because there are things that we need, God knows what we need. And why do we need to ask for it? We're going to get it if we deserve it. And if we don't deserve it, we're not going to get it. And certainly we don't want to yet, we'll have to at some point get into it. We're going to convince him to change his mind? We're going to sit there begging up. We know what it's like when children sit there pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's not so easy to get them to change their mind. And the truth is, that's also part of it. If it's just about asking, what happens when somebody pesters you, and then you, in the morning you said no, and then in the afternoon you said no, and then mire of time you say no, and then day after day after day there's asking you. So again, so sometimes out of frustration you just give in, but you certainly aren't happy about it. So if all davening is about is asking for things, we are really setting ourselves up for a very, very limiting and frustrating experience. The fascinating comment is the wrong word. There's a fascinating halacha. It's in Shulchan Aruch. You might not have thought it would be in Shulchan Aruch, but it is in Shulchan Aruch if you look at the first source. Shulchan Aruch says, and I think this reflects this point as well, Hilchos Tfila Simen Tzadiches Sifhei Al Yachshov. Al Yachshov, do not think. That's not a typical way. We've got the Mishnah Berurah over here. That is not a typical way where the Mechaber starts a halacha. Don't think. Royu Shayasa Garashbarhu Bakashaso Kevin Shigivanti Bitfilasi. I had a really, really good davening. He's gonna have to give it to me. God's going to have to give it to me because I had so much kavan. I did everything that he wanted from me. Don't think like that. Why? Ki adraba. The opposite. Zemaz ki ravonosav shel adam. That reminds Hashem of all of the reasons why you don't deserve it. Why would that be? Because if you're pushing, and you're confident, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out the ledger, and then he looks at the ledger in its entirety. Does he really deserve it? Does he not deserve it? So it's going to require examining parts of that ledger that we may have been happy to have kept a little bit more hidden at the bottom of the pile, and we're not interested in him revealing. And that comes from the confidence in our tefillah. So what should we think? Ela yachshav she'yaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechasdo. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, in his chesed, he should do for us, halofu do for us, v'yomer belibo, and he should really think, mi ani, who am I? Dal v'nivze, I'm just a lowly creature trying to touch. It's the finite reaching out to the infinite. Bo levakesh me'ez melech ma'achei ha'mlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only chance that I have is that of the pure mercy of God. So it's very clear from the Shulchan Aruch that, yes, we are asking for things, but if it was just about asking for things, then you would think that I can be confident. Like that's what tefillah is. I did a good job with my tefillah, so then I should be sitting there waiting for it to come in. The wallet's going to grow tomorrow. The paycheck's going to get larger. Shulchan Aruch says that's not the case. That's not the case. So it's not just about asking for things. So what is it about? What is it about? And how important is it? How critical to our lives is davening? We know it takes up a lot of time. We know that it's spread out throughout the day. But how critical is it? Rav Kook once said the following. So the difference between an individual who prays and one who does not pray is not that one sets aside time each day to pray and the second does not set aside time for this purpose. Rather, there is a profound fundamental difference. The quality of life of each of these two is completely different. That time set aside for prayer makes a profound impact on the entire day. And that's what we have to understand. What is it about tefillah that will turn us and that will change our experience, that will change our lives, that will change each day? It's not just about saying some Hebrew words as quickly as possible, seeing which ones we can do, which how late we can be and how much we can skip and how early we can get out and when can I wrap up my tefillin and can I finish the matzah minyan 18 minutes or less? You know, figuring out all the quick ways out of shul. You know, as the Rav very famously said about the difference between the Jews in America versus the Jews in Europe is that the Jews in America want to have davened. In Europe, they wanted to daven. They were looking forward to the experience. It's not just another thing I can check up. I did it. I'm done. I did shacharis. I did mincha. I did maariv. Whatever I did, I'm done. And I can sleep well at night knowing that I checked off all the boxes. It's much more similar to what we said at the beginning, looking forward to that next opportunity. So what is it about tefillah that we can, that we should be looking forward to? What is so special about tefillah? There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. I don't think I put it on the sheets, I apologize. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about the mitzvah of tefillah. Mitzvah of tefillah. The Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah min HaTorah, a biblical commandment to daven every day. Not our shacharis mincha ma'ariv, that is clearly set up by the Rabbanan, but davening some sort of tefillah every single day is a requirement min HaTorah. Requirement min HaTorah. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban thinks that that is not the case. Rather, there is a mitzvah min HaTorah to daven be'es tzara. When there is some sort of difficulty, when there is some sort of tragedy, when we again, I think many of us know that we're naturally drawn towards tefillah. We want that connection in those moments of es tzara. That is the mitzvah min HaTorah of tefillah. So again, the Rambam says every single day, Again, some sort of tefillah, and the Ramban says only be'eis tzara. What are they arguing about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the machlokas is not as far apart as you might think. They're not as far apart as you might think. And really what they're arguing about, they both agree that tefillah on a Torah level is necessary be'eis tzara, when things are difficult. The machlokas is what type of tzara obligates one in that tefillah. The Ramban says be'eis tzara means objectively look around. We know when there is a tzara. When we know when the Jews feel like they have to get together, we know when things are difficult, when there's a crisis and we have to all get together in tefillah. But the Rambam says, you know what tefillah is? That when something is bothering you, it really, really bothers you and you feel like you are in an eis tzara. And every single day we have something. There's something that we need. There's something that we feel really strongly, really passionately about. That's when you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. So they both agree that it's about eis tzara. It's both about turning towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll talk about this more soon, as being the source, as being the one who can provide for us what we need in a difficult time. But it's a brivet and a broader machlokas. Is the mitzvah on a personal level or is it on a communal level? On a communal level, then again, those tzara hopefully don't happen too frequently. But on a personal level, it's just a different something that we're dealing with every single day. And that's what tefillah is about. Rabbi Lord Sachs, I don't think you can give a shiur on tefillah nowadays without quoting the Rav and Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. Again, they were just two thinkers who really had beautiful insights into tefillah. If you look at the last source on the second side of the page, he just writes beautifully. Philosophers speculate about God. Scientists argue about God. Theologians theorize about God. We as Jews do something simpler and ultimately more profound. We talk to God. We bring Him our thanks and our hope, our fears, and our dreams. And that is the first step to understanding what tefillah is about. That our tefillah, that davening, is supposed to be a dialogue. It's supposed to be a dialogue. We haven't discussed yet what the purpose of that dialogue is. What is it about? And that's part of the frustration of tefillah, is that often that we feel that our tefillos are a monologue. Because we don't hear anybody answering. We don't see immediate results. In most things that we do throughout our day, we do something that's result-oriented that we can see, that we can verify the results. But that's not the case when it comes to our tefillos. We have emuna, we have faith, but we don't see the results. And sometimes the results are seen, and sometimes the answer is simply no. There's a story told, I was not able to verify the veracity of the story, about Rav Schwab when he first came to America. He was a Rav in Baltimore. But the yesod of the story, whether the story is factually true or not, is most certainly true. And Rav Schwab was walking on the streets of Baltimore on a Sunday morning, and out of the local church, he sees the wife of the president of his shul come out of the church. And he does what any good rabbi would do under such a situation. Run the other way, make sure you're not seen. And he runs the other way, make sure he's not seen, and he tries to think, what am I going to do? Like, this is the Rosh HaKol. And he's going into a church? She's going into a church on Sunday? What do I make of this? So he thought about it, and it was bothering him. It was really eating away. And finally, after a few days, he reached out to her and said, can we get together and can we talk for a few minutes? I said, sure. And they sit down. And he says to her, you know, Sunday morning I was out on the street and the church was letting out. She goes, okay, fine. She goes, and I saw you coming out of the church. He goes, oh, Rabbi, don't worry about that. I'm Orthodox. This just, there's something that the church has that I really, really like that we just don't have. So I go on Sunday just to take advantage. Like, What does the church have that we don't actually go? There's this unbelievable thing. It's called confession. You walk in and you knock on this little door and there's somebody sitting right behind us. You list off all the things that you did wrong. Goes, okay, you're all good. And then you go. It feels great. It's like, if only we had something like that where you could talk and somebody would be listening. And he's like, we do have that. Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. But you don't sense that there's somebody listening. There's somebody with a capital S. The Ribono Shalom is listening. It underscores what the challenge of tefillah is. Because we more readily relate to somebody with whom we can have a conversation because we can see that there's somebody there, even if the person says nothing. How often do we sit down and talk to somebody and we just need to get something off our chests and the other person says nothing? Nothing. Uh-huh. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. Because I know somebody heard me. Somebody took the time to listen to me. And that's part of what tefillah is about, but it's part of the challenge of tefillah, because you don't always have that sense in a tangible way that somebody is listening, that somebody's listening. And the Rav took it a step further. Said it's in fact a dialogue, but it's not just any dialogue. The tefillah is not supposed to be a random discussion between two distant acquaintances. But it's the most intimate of conversations between man and Hashem. And he explained that's why the Amida, the main part of Shemoneh Esrei, is said silently. Because when you're talking to somebody with whom you have a really, really close relationship, you don't have to yell it from the treetops. You're just talking in a nice, simple, intimate way, lovingly. And that's what tefillah is about. Gemara tells us that the Chassidim HaRishonim, HaYishonim Sha'achas, they would wait, they would prepare themselves for an hour before davening, they would daven for an hour, and then they would decompress for an hour after davening. Talk about a long weekday davening. 3 hours every day. Why? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? So we need to understand. The first step, I think we understand. Again, why an hour? I don't know. But that tefillah is going to require preparation, it makes sense. If I really believe that I am having a dialogue with the Ribono Shel Olam, that I am privileged, that he cares to listen to what I have to say, me, a nobody, and the Ribono Shel Olam wants to hear from me, not just once, not just twice, 3 times a day. And you know what? You can daven throughout the day also. It's not even limited. And sometimes those tefillos that we intersperse throughout, they're the most powerful ones. Because we're not stuck with the text, as we'll talk about a little bit later on. That's another challenge of tefillah. Is what kind of dialogue do you have with somebody with whom you have this loving, intimate relationship, and you have a script? Try that at home. It's not going to go over very well. You talk from the heart. So one another one, the challenge. So what is this about? So again, the preparation in advance we understand, but what is the tefillah about? And what's the hour after about? So again, if we know that most of tefillah, or a large part of tefillah, is about bakashos, is about asking, so why are we asking Hashem? He knows what is good for us. Why are we going through this exercise of asking, and how can we even think of changing his mind? Right? We change our mind when we're given different information. Something changes in the picture. The Ribono Shel Olam sees it. Ha Yehovah V'yeh, sees it from all directions. How can we expect him to change his mind? So I want to discuss 4 different aspects of tefillah. They're not mutually exclusive. I think they build off of each other, but I think it's four specific points. Again, I think they can merge together. And the first is a point that the Ramchal makes in his Derech Hashem in the 4th chapter. And he writes that tefillah is about actualizing the potential. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, We are given a certain potential. We know that we are nidon. We know that there is a judgment. But we often think that that judgment is made and now it's set. I am going to get X, Y, Z, this amount of money, this amount of health, whatever it is. It's all done on Rosh Hashanah. Rav Chaya says it's not true. It's true, but it's not true. It's true that the potential for all of that is allocated on Rosh Hashanah. But you may not get it. What do you have to do in order to get it? You have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. Very similar to the Gemara Maseches Chulin, you look over here at number 2. That goes back to the beginning of creation. Rashi Al HaTorah quotes this as well. Rav Asi asked the following contradiction. Ksiv, Vatotzea Aretz Desha, Bitzlas B'Shab. So it says that the grass came out on the third day of creation. And then when we get to the end of the week, it talks about the siach asada, the things growing from the ground before they were there. So what does that mean? On the third day of creation, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the grass, it started coming up, but it stopped as it got to the earth's surface. You know, when you were watching, you know, you plant the grass seed, they put that weird blue stuff on top, and then it starts to grow, and you're looking for the first little bit of the green that pops out above it. It's exciting, you see something growing. Right before the little green things popped out, it stopped. Ad sheba Adam Arishin u'bikei shaleim rachamim. Until Adam came and davened. V'yardu geshamim v'tzamchu. And then the rain came down, and they grew a little bit more. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the tfilos of tzaddikim. But what is it? What is in essence the beginning of the Gemara telling us? The beginning of the Gemara is telling us that Hashem wants us to ask even for the things that He's planning on giving us. Why would that be? Why would that be? Right? It's almost like a faucet. Right? The water is there, it's ready to come out. But if you don't turn the faucet on, it's not going to come out. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, He plants, all the water is there. Whatever you're going to be getting, that shefa that's going to come down is waiting to come, but you don't turn the faucet on, you're not going to get it. Why does He want that? It seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to partner with Him to realize His Ratzon. He wants us to be part and to connect to Him in making this world into a better place. And part of making this world into a better place is doing good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to shower His bracha on us. But He also wants to have a relationship. This is all I'm asking from you. All I'm asking is just daven. Ask for it. It's there for the taking. We just have to try to actualize that potential. It's the first aspect of tefillah. This again is that the bakashos are there. Not because we're trying to change His mind, but because we are going to partake in this process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu showering His goodness into the world, and that requires asking for it. The second aspect that tefillah does is that it connects us to the spiritual world. It lets us stop throughout the day and remember that there's more to the world than most of what occupies the hours of our day. We come to the beginning of the day, we start Shacharis, and we check in with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we daven. The end of the day, we daven again. The hardest, right, is when was Eliyahu Nana? When was Eliyahu? Mincha is hard. Mincha is in the middle of everything. It doesn't matter whether Shkia is at 4:15 or 8:30. Somehow it's always challenging, and it's in the middle of whatever it is that I need to be doing. That's when we stop in the middle of the day, in the middle of the busyness. And we say, whoa, we got to check in. We got to make sure that our spiritual compass stays set towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And tefillah allows for that. So it's not even, again, the less important here is the bakasha. More important is that it keeps us oriented with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third aspect is that it helps us build a relationship. It helps us build a relationship. It reminds us that Hashem is the source of all bracha. Why else do we ask Him? right? If you need something from somebody that they can't possibly provide, you're not going to go to, you know, your next door neighbor who's a physician and ask him to fix your car. You might happen to know that, but there's no reason to assume. There's no sheikhus. You only ask somebody who can potentially provide. So when we turn to the Ribono Shel Olam, it's mechazek our emuna. It makes sure that we have the hakara, we have the recognition that whatever it is that we need only comes from one source. And even though throughout the day we're going to be involved in a variety of hishtabos, we're going to try because we have to, but we remember and it strengthens our emuna. Strengthens our emuna that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we repeat it? Doesn't it get annoying after a while? And the Gemara, in fact, says that if a person sees that Gemara and Daf Lamed Beis and Brachos, I don't think this part it's in that same Gemara in number 4, but it's the part that I did not put in. But adjacent to that Gemara, the Gemara says that if a person is not answered, Adam Yishpal V'lo Nana Yachzar V'Yispalo, he should daven again. He should daven again. Why? Because it says, Kaveh El Hashem Chazak V'Yames Libecha. V'kaveh El Hashem. Right, you tried, you spoke to Hashem, you had confidence in Hashem. It didn't work, so you try again. So when one makes a request from a friend more than once, you run the risk of being called the nag. Just go away already. You're annoying. Why are you asking me again and again? But that's not the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? Why is that? So Rav Pinkus explains in one of his Svarim on Tefillah, because when it comes to requests from another person, from our fellow man, the act of asking is just what we would call a hechi timsa. It's just the means to get what we want, but it's all about the result. Until the result is fulfilled, you have to keep asking. But when it comes to tefillah, it's about the tefillah. Okay, maybe you get the result, maybe you don't. It's about the relationship. It's about showing, HaKadosh Baruch, you're the only one who can provide this. I just don't know where else to turn to, but I know that you are the source of all bracha. There's a beautiful comment, and you look at number 7, the Chashuk Echemer of Zilberstein wants to know, what's the pshat in that Gemara? It doesn't have to do directly to this point, but it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Adam sheyispalav lo nana yachzar v'yispalav. If your person davens and does not answer, you daven again. The question is, it says this in the Gemara, bracha samar v'chame v'chanina, imra adam sheyispalav lo nana yachzar v'yispalav. Person sees he's not answered, daven again. Shemra kavel Hashem chazak v'kavel Hashem. Le'ezet tefillah kavan. What does it mean to daven again? What does it mean to daven again? Should you daven Shemoneh Esrei again? I finished. I didn't get the answer I want. I'll start again. How you talking? Is that possible? Obviously not. Oh, v'im la miras tehillim. So maybe I'll say, okay, I did Shemoneh Esrei. Now I'm going to say tehillim. Haver ein lezeh shir klal. That you could say all day. It doesn't matter. Because the Gra suggests that it means chazaras hashat. That's the power of chazaras hashat. If you pay attention to chazaras hashat, that's another tefillah. Like what the Rambam calls a tefillah's hatzibur. And it's harder than the other one because you're actively engaged when you are the one davening. When you have to listen to somebody else and pay attention and zero in. It's a different type of tefillah. Different type of tefillah. I want to get to one final aspect. Now there's a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam, this is in sources 8, 9, and 10 on the back of the sheet over here. Contradiction in the Rambam relates to our requirement to have kavana, to have proper intent when davening. So the Rambam writes in number 8, in Hilchos Tefillah and Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, Mi sheis palav lo kiven es libo. If a person davened and didn't focus his heart, yachzar v'yispalav b'kavana. Then you go and you daven again, but in kivas libei bracha rishona shuvin etzarech. But if you have proper kavana for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So what again? It sounds like what we call the chatchila and b'diavad. The chatchila, ideally kavana for everything, but at least the first bracha. Fine. Number 9. He tells us there are 5 things that are ma'akev tefillah, friend of tefillah, and mess it up. And the last one is Kavana Salev. So number 10, he explains, what does Kavana Salev mean? Ketzad kol tefillah sheinim b'kavana ein a tefillah. Any tefillah doesn't have kavana is not a tefillah. V'mispala below kavana, chozer mispala below kavana. If you daven without kavana, you have to repeat it. It's a contradiction in the Rambam. Is it only the first bracha, or is it the entire Tishma Esrei? And the first halacha said, as long as you have kavana for the first bracha, that's sufficient. In the next halacha, he says that you have to have kavana for the whole thing. If you don't have kavana for the whole thing, it's as if you didn't daven. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik explained that there are tzvei dinim, two halachos in kavana, two different kavanos that one needs to have. One kavana is the perush hamilos. What do the words mean? What do the words mean? That kavana is necessary, ideally, for everything. But if not, if you have it for the first, you know what the first bracha of Shemona Esrei means, you are okay. But there's another type of kavana as well. And that kavana is the kavana that you're standing b'fnei hamelech. When you're davening, you're standing in front of the king and have shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. You're having a conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that, if you're not paying attention to, your davening is not a davening at all. And that brings us, I think, the last aspect of tefillah. Tefillah is not, in this sense, as much centered on God as it is centered on us. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. What it means is that we have the opportunity when we're standing b'fnei HaMelech. We're standing in front of the king, and we can ask for whatever it is that we want. And you know what happens at that moment? We're mispalel, right? That's the word we use with the hispalel. So Rav Hirsch writes, again, many others point this out as well, that the word to daven, hispalel, is written in hispael, which is a reflexive form, something I'm doing to myself, right? If I get, like the hislabesh is to get myself dressed. What does it mean to daven myself? What does that mean? So the shoresh of the word tefillah, of pilel, seems to me, it's not a commonly used word, but seems to mean to judge. And therefore, lehispalel means to judge myself. What does that mean, to judge myself? And the point is that when I turn in tefillah and start asking for the things that are important to me, it's an opportunity for me to think about what is really important in my life. To judge, where am I holding in terms of my tefillah? What am I asking for? What am I striving for? And that's why there's a set text to our tefillos. Why should there be a set text to tefillos? It shouldn't be necessary. It makes it harder for us. So the Rav explained, contemporary man is unaware of his needs. We forget what's really important. Man is surely aware of many needs, but the needs he is aware of are not always his own. At the very root of the failure to recognize one's truly worthwhile needs lies man's ability to misunderstand and misidentify himself. That is what tefillah is about. Tefillah is an opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven because we want a relationship with him, and through that relationship, we want to grow into better versions of ourselves. And that's how come we can ask for the same thing time and time again. Do we think we're going to change his mind? We're not going to change his mind. But you know what we can change? Ourselves. Ourselves. We can be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need $500,000. It's so important. I really, really, really need it. But as I think more deeply, why do I need it? It might align itself more importantly with less of my physical world, more what I can do with it spiritually. And maybe then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, that's what you want to do with it. That's something I'm happy to provide for that. You know, we become different people. Lehispalel. We go through this process. It's an evolving process. We're not going to change his mind. But we can certainly change ourselves. I'm yearning for something different. I want to change. I want to be different. And that's really what tefillah is about. We daven to improve ourselves vis-a-vis deepening our connection to Hashem. So I think as we prepare for the Yamim Noraim, certainly we should take the time to learn the basic meaning of the words. It will be a more enjoyable davening if we understand what we are saying. But also to try an exercise. To try the exercise, come up with three things that you want more than anything else. Three things that you want. Those are your ratzon. That's what you want. And ask yourself, why do I want those things? You don't have to tell anybody else. Why do I want those things? Why are those things so important? Because when we get to the crux of the matter, the things that we daven for. Yes, when we're at a certain age, we might be davening for the Jets to win the Super Bowl. Might be being so mechal on nature, you're not allowed to daven for that. But there are things, because that's what's important. But as we grow, and as we become deeper people, it should change what our ratzon is. And then we should take advantage of all the tefillos that we have until we have plenty of practice tefillos. Three times a day. At least for one bracha. Try to focus more on being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have that feeling that we have an opportunity to be omed b'fnei HaMelech. We have the zechus of talking to the king. And hopefully, if we can do that, if we can focus our tefillos, if we can deepen our relationship, we can understand, why do we daven? Because we want to change ourselves and connect to something much larger than us. Connect to the infinite and allow it to change us. And then hopefully, all of the brachas that we desire of the coming days, we will merit, and we will all be zocha to a ksiva b'chasima tova.